And how are you?
Great.
You're looking great from where I am standing. And I must congratulate the choir on the beautiful sound and singing a Negro spiritual song. I was blessed and blessed by also Courtney's song and all the hymns and the prayers that were said, which tells us that the blessings of the Lord are in this place. Normally in Jamaica, when we preach, the congregation preaches with us. So they will say, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So there is no limit where preaching is concerned, and when you are blessed and the word reaches your heart, and when the word reaches your heart, that word is called the Rhema word. There are two words used for the word, the Logos and the Rhema. The Rhema is the one that personally ministers to you. The Logos is the general subject from Genesis to Revelation. So that is for everybody. But the one that ministers to you is called the Rhema. And Rhema is another word that speaks to what the Lord is, what you are going through, and the Lord is saying to what you are going through. Amen?
Amen.
Learned anything? The Logos and the
Rhema.
And the Rhema. Bless the Lord. Amen. I want to bring greetings to you from warm, warm Jamaica. And as you said, Alice taught you, when we speak to each other in patois, what we call the dialect, we say, Watagwan or Wagwan. Understood? Watagwan or Wagwan. It means in English, what is happening? All right? So simply, so we bring you greetings from the United Church in Jamaica and the Cayman Islands, and also from my home church in Trelawney, the Low River United Charge of Churches. There are three churches in the charge that I am called to pastor. You have the Low River United, you have Cascade United Church, and you also have Tooting Hall United. And we also have St. Andrew's United Church too, back in Jamaica. In fact, we have two Andrews United. Amen. So some of the things that you do here, they are similar, because I think we were born out of the same movement. Some of us were Presbyterian, some were Congregational Churches, and some were Disciples of Christ. But we have now merged to become the United Church in Jamaica and the Cayman Islands. Why? Because we also have churches in Cayman. Good. So you get a little of what we are about in Jamaica. And so we also want to bring you greetings on behalf of the Caribbean Workers Outreach Program. And I think by now, Nancy being here and some other representatives who sit on the board know what the Caribbean Workers Outreach Program is. It's really to reach out to the offshore workers from Jamaica and the rest of the Caribbean to ensure that we build friendship and tear down the gaps and the blockages and the walls, and so that we feel like we are one. Amen?
Amen.
Fabulous. You're doing quite fine. Let us go to God in prayer. Hallelujah. There is a song that I have learned, and I called myself a worshiper as the Lord leads me into his presence. And it goes like this. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to me. Everybody sing, here I am to worship. Here I am to here I am, here I to say that you're my, you're all together, you're all too lovely, love. Worthy altogether. altogether, all too wonderful. So we can sing, here I am to. Oh yes, here I am to. Hallelujah, here I am to say that you're mine. You're all together, you're all together. Lovely, worthy, all together. And all together wonderful to me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're mine. Hallelujah. In Revelations, it says that the four living creatures, they took off their kingly crowns and they bow in the presence of the Lord and they worshiped. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come with humble hearts. We come with open minds. We come with a freedom of spirit to worship. We come with a freedom of thoughts to lift them before the throne of grace. We come, God, to hold back nothing but to give you and to surrender our all. Lord, we lift the word that we're about to share with each other right now. We ask that you will bless this word unto our hearts. As we together glorify your name, and the church says,
Amen.
Amen. I was asked to share on mission, and especially how are we going to be inspired to do the mission? Because when you talk about the mission of Christ and the mission within the secular world, there are two different goals. Think about it. One is called by the divine, and one is, it's about pleasing man, and it's about the worldly system. So when we talk about the mission of God, it is really a special mission. I want to start off by sharing this story with you by this man who is called Teju Rabilochan. The story begins like this. A boy and his father, they were walking through the woods together. And they came across a large log that was blocking their pathway. And nobody who is traveling, and especially when you're hurrying and you want to get somewhere quickly, nobody wants anything to be in his or her pathway. Am I correct? Everybody wants a smooth sailing. No hindrances. No blockages. Right? So when we are on our pathway, we really don't want anything to hinder us. The boy turned to his father and he said to his father, "Do you think I can lift this log, Dad?" I can just imagine in my mind this little young man seeing this log in the road. But then again, why didn't the father try to lift the log first? He's the dad. And the boy should follow. But sometimes being a young person and enthusiastic, you want to approach things differently and quickly without even giving thought to it. So imagine this young man, he would try to put his hand underneath, he's like lifting this table, put his hand underneath, dropping all his weight to lift this heavy boulder. And to his surprise, guess what? He could not move that log. "If you use all your strength," his father said, you will be able to lift this log. So he rolled up his sleeves, bent his knees, got his hands underneath the log. But when he realized it was so heavy and it was about to take all his strength, he tried and he tried, but guess what? He gave up. He turned to his father and he looked at him in frustration and looked in disappointment. And he said to his father, "You told me if I had used all my strength, it would happen. The log would be removed." How many of us, we were told, if you give it all your strength, that it, that thing that is before you will not be there again. You would have gotten some help and your pathway would be cleared. The thing is, the father turned to him. "You did not ask for help." Hello? You did not ask for help. Sometimes in life, we think that our own strength is all the help there is. But when you look at it, the father said to his son, "You did not ask for help." And so we realize that while we are walking along our pathways, our help is not in our own personal strength, but those who walk along with us, they provide strength. They provide strength when we are weak. They provide strength when we lack. They provide strength when we doubt. They provide strength when things seem beyond our own limitations. Others can provide strength. It is not in you alone. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." In John chapter 6, and many of us are familiar with this story, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had just done some miraculous work healing people. And I imagine that he's now drained. I imagine now that he's tired and he wants some rest. But by the time he crossed the Sea of Tiberias, the Bible said that a great crowd followed him. Sometimes in life, we are so busy doing so many things and we want to move from one task to the next. We want to complete this one. We want to rest a little and then we start another one. But sometimes there is no time for rest because there is a call to fulfill a specific mission and a specific task. So here in John chapter 6, Jesus crossed the Sea of Tiberias. And the Bible said, then Jesus went up on a mountainside and he sat down with his disciples, and there was the Jewish Passover feast. And the Bible said, when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd towards him, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" There is, Jesus identifies a crisis situation. Yes, many times we go through crises. Yes, speaking of it in a plural context, crises. And Jesus identifies a crisis situation to Philip that he is also a part of. Why would Jesus, the Son of God, talk to Philip like that? Pull Philip a little closer to the crisis, yes? Because Philip needed to understand that in a crisis, once you have Christ for the crisis, everything will work its way out. Christ for the crisis. And he pulled him into the situation. But one thing I have learned from the text, that there is a difference between Jesus in the crisis and Philip with his own human flesh in the crisis. Jesus now finds himself in an overwhelming situation. And Philip also is in an overwhelming situation. Both are in an overwhelming situation. What is it? Jesus had a crowd to feed. A crowd. The Bible describes it as 5,000. And the 5,000 is emphasized with the men. But there's no emphasis on the women. So we don't hear about how many women were there. How many were grandmothers? How many were mothers? We don't know how many children were there. How many boys and girls were there. But we heard that there were 5,000. And it points and indicated that these were men. So approximately, if you should count up everybody, you would look over 5,000, maybe going on to 10,000, 8,000. Who knows? But the Bible said that there was a large crowd. And anytime you are given a task to do, my God, and when you look beyond yourself and you begin to examine, what do I have? How am I going to accomplish? There are things to be achieved. People are looking at me. People have expectations of me. I have a calling to fulfill. But when you examine yourself, you look beyond the tools that you have and you say, my God, fear is now coming upon me. I don't think I can manage. Many times persons give up. Oh, yes. Why do you think many churches close today? Because the task is too great. And those who look at the task look through limited lenses and cannot see through the eyes of Christ. And they want to do it, but they don't have that faith to see bigger than the situation. Once I heard somebody said, do not take your look at your situation in such a way, but take your situation to God. Instead of speaking of the situation so big, so mammoth of a task, take the situation to God. In this text, when you look at what happened, Jesus had a crowd to feed. Right there and then, that could be emphasized as his mission. It could be Philip's mission as well. But ask the question, is Philip up to the task? Is Andrew up to the task? Am I willing to sacrifice and to leap over the obstacle? When we see a crowd, some person draw back and say, oh my God, not me. You are going to feed them, not me. I can't manage. There are many of us right here now who are overwhelmed. Many of us don't even know how to name the situation. We can't even identify the situation. But you know that you really don't have the strength. You don't have the wherewithal to do it. Is there anybody here? You have been so overwhelmed that you feel like giving up. You feel like saying, oh, Pastor, I can't manage. The women's fellowship is getting too burdensome. Oh, the work of the women's society is too much. I have work. I have my grandkids to feed. I have the golfing, and I have all the picnics to take care of. I have to take the kids to swimming. But I really can't manage at this time. Could you please ask somebody else to do it? I can't manage at this time. Have you ever felt that way? Does anybody have a testimony?
In my little voice, I will tell you, I feel frustrated, overwhelmed sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
For yourselves. We in the women's fellowship had a bit of a dilemma. We were all feeling overwhelmed because we were tired. And it came about that the president wanted to retire. She'd had her time and she was needing to do other things. But what would we do? We didn't have a new president. Well, I'm not taking it on. I'm already overwhelmed. And I heard another one say, I'm not doing it. And I heard another one say, well, I sure hope they find somebody else, but not me. And we did have a dilemma. We were all feeling overwhelmed. But In our own strength, we were. But with God's help, because that's what he wants, he wants us to come to him with our concerns when we're overwhelmed. And he helped us find a solution. And the solution was that we could each take a turn. So for this year, three different ladies stepped up and took a few months. So there you are with not as big a big, it wasn't the whole elephant, it was just a little bite. And that's how we have to do it. One bite at a time, one step at a time. And that's how we did it. Three different ladies stepped up this year. We don't know what's going to happen next year, but that's not our problem yet. So that's how we have overcome that little problem.
Give her a round of applause. You know what I call that? I call that diverse leadership. Yes? Breaking down the leadership into three different leaders. My God, I've never tried that, and I have challenges with my women's fellowship, so maybe we'll have to come up with some creative ideas. But once you listen to the voice of the Lord, sometimes we need to shift and turn into a different route, turn on a different route, turn on a different pathway, so that the Lord can use us in simple and ordinary ways. Amen?
Amen.
But I love that. How many of us continue to allow the church work? You know, church work can become distracting. But when you allow the Lord to lead you, to teach you his ways to do a specific task that is different. People sometimes get busy and distracted with a whole heap of church work because sometimes we just want to be seen that I am doing this. We want the minister to see us. We want other members to see us. But really and truly, we are not commissioned for the task. There's a difference between being anointed and commissioned and just doing a task. When you're anointing for a task, it means that the Spirit of the Lord has already inspired you. So it doesn't matter what comes your way, you're going to press, you're going to be patient, and you're going to persevere. Somebody say persevere.
Persevere.
I must know that I must carry out Norlene's task, not my sister here's task. And sometimes,
where are the handbags?
I see, is there another handbag?
Oh, here.
Any more? Any more? I am doing the kitchen work. I'm doing the Sunday school. I'm doing men's ministry. I am doing young people's ministry. I'm doing the soup kitchen. I am on the road. I am planning the service. I am doing Bible study. And all of a sudden, you are a dead beat. You are so tired. But when you allow the Lord to strip you, and others come along the way, the work gets lighter. The word of the Lord said we must take our burdens. Take it, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He said, take my yoke upon me. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. That's the work of the Lord. We must have a passion. We must love it. We must not become burnt out just doing any and everything. We must focus on that which the Lord has anointed us and commissioned us to do. What is mission? Mission, as I see it through the lenses of God, is an appointed task. Or activity appointed by God, appointed with a specific task. A mission of God is a great work. What is a mission? What is the nature of mission? It begins with a commissioning relationship. You can't have a mission without having a relationship with God, because out of your prayers, out of your worship, out of your fasting, you build a relationship. And when you rise from praying, you rise with something impressing on your heart to do for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And what it does, it manifests itself in an extraordinary miracle. When you look back at the achievements, you could only say, but by the grace of God. So we look at the nature of mission, that it is really God-centered. It's not about the bishop. It's not about the presbyter. It's about God. It is a God-sent mission. You know what I look at? Many times we look at, we are called into a relationship with Christ. But we never really look at being sent. We only focus on coming in Christ, but we don't focus on being sent by Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? That many times we spend ourselves, we are well-resourced, we are empowered, but nobody wants to be sent. Most persons want to be resourceful, they are empowered, but nobody wants to go. They say, send so-and-so. You go. You do it. The second point that I want to raise, we look at the nature of mission. What is mission? The second point, the power of Christ's mind must function in me. The power of Christ's mind should function where? In me. I look at the text. The Lord said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for already, everybody has his or her Bible. I want you to underline, for he already had in mind. Who is that?
Jesus.
Oh, good God, man. Never you read the text and miss out that. He already had in mind, underline the word, had in mind, what he was going to do. My God, I love that part. He had in mind what he was going to do. Whether Philip understood the mission, yes or not, it was going to accomplish. Why? Because Jesus is there, and wherever the mind of Christ is, the mind of God is. Anywhere the mind of God is the wisdom of God. Anywhere the wisdom of God is the ability to do. Oh dear. The mind of God. So the power of Christ's mind must always function. Anytime there is a situation that overwhelms us, we lack the energy, we lack the principle, we lack the elements, we begin to get weak, we begin to shift from God. But all I know, the more you focus on the face of God, the more resources and replenish you are. And that's when you are inspired by God. Somebody say inspired.
Inspired.
Oh dear Lord. Some people think that the more struggles you have is the weaker you become. But I have learned that in my weakness, that the strength of God is perfected in me. When I am weak, the wisdom of God is perfected in me. And that's how the Lord wants it. That when we step back, he can work through us and in us. The more he works through us and in us, the more glory he will get. Oh dear.
Amen.
The more glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, the word of the Lord says, We have received the Spirit. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit from the Lord, from God, that we may understand the things of God given to us to speak the words that the Lord has taught us by his Spirit. And so, in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, it says, but who hath the mind of Christ? He said, we the believers have the mind of Christ. In Colossians, it speaks about when you are going out, you must put on the mind of Christ. Anybody ever read that scripture? When you are in struggling situations, overwhelming situations, crises, and crises when all the security from underneath you are shifted. For example, your house is burnt out. That is a crisis. You have nobody to turn to. All your protection, all your security is gone. You have nothing to turn to. So it becomes a crisis and you have nobody else but to depend on those who are around you and God. And the word of the Lord said, but we have the mind of Christ. We, the believers, have the mind of Christ in us. the will to do and to carry out the purpose of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, we have the mind of Christ.
We have the mind of Christ.
Philip answered Jesus and said, oh, dear Lord. Philip said to the Lord, 8 months' wages. Why did he stop at eight? Why is 12 months in a year? 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. The people came, but I noticed they did not ask for food. There's nowhere in this text that they asked for food. It is out of it. Somebody say compassion. Somebody say compassion.
Compassion.
Christ had compassion on the people. He knew that they had been following him. He knew that they may have been thirsty and hungry. He knew that they would need some food. Nobody else noticed that they need food. Nobody spoke up immediately. But the Lord said that, what is it that we're going to use to feed them? And Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Philip. In other words, I see Philip saying, Lord, I not even would have bother go there. No, that is Jamaican. I wouldn't go there. It is impossible. It is impossible. What Philip was doing is presenting an obstacle and not an opportunity. We are called as missionaries to present and to change our obstacles to opportunities. Change the things that seem to be negative into opportunities. Use the moment. Seize the moment. Philip did not do that. And somebody said, here is one who basically he knows everything. Who are we talking about? In verse 8, the Bible said, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he spoke up. And what did he say? Here is a boy. Somebody say, a boy. God always have a substitute. God always have somebody to partner with. When you think that the task is too mammoth, when you think it is too mountainous, when you think it is too big, when you think it is oh so wide as an ocean, the Lord always have a substitute. The Lord said, the disciples said to the Lord, here is a boy. Now what can a boy carry so big, my brother, to share for 5,000 and more? What could he have? Does he have a trailer? No, he did not. Does he have 3 big trucks? No, he did not. Did he have a storehouse? No, he did not. All he had was 5 loaves. And what else? 2 tiny fish. In Jamaica, we would say tops. A little tops. A little drop in the bucket. 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was not a barn house. It was not a storehouse. It could not feed all of Canada, much less America, much less India. But all he had was 5 loaves, 2 fish. And he said, oh, but how many could that feed? The point that we are trying to make, and it's my third point, together we can. Everybody say that?
Together we can.
Think about how many people around this place, they had never been ministered to. Nobody, they are sick and they're lying on their bed. Nobody visits them. Instead, sometimes we find excuses that we can't because we don't believe in it. There are many hungry persons. There are many families that have broken down because their finances are low. They cannot manage to resource their families. Their families cannot improve. But here it is. The Lord did not ask for 1 million loaves. He just took the simple. Somebody say, it is simple. It is simple. A small boy, 5 loaves. They never had wine. They never had steak. They just had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus just said to them, have the people sit down. In other words, Relax, it's time to eat. Bless the Lord. It is time to eat. The Bible said there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves. He gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. I could imagine that little boy took his lunch, walking in the crowd, cannot wait to sit down. But all of a sudden, somebody point him out and said, this little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Oh my, and somebody come along. Young man, could you care to give us? And then they start to explain to him, oh, we are going to share this for all the 5,000 and odd people right here, right now. But the fact that they got the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes tells me that it's a little boy who was willing to share. Share. Share tells me that when I share, it means that my heart is kind. And when my heart is kind, my character is being developed like Christ. Bless the Lord. Touch my hand. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. When my heart begins to open up and I begin to share, it tells me that the very image of Christ is being formed in the little boy. He doesn't matter whether all the 5 loaves are going to go. But when he gave everything, there was more. There was more. There was more. The more you give, the more you will get. It also says to me that with Christ in the vessel, there is more than enough. Sometimes we have pride and we have our little bag with our lunches. And we say, I don't want anybody to come to my house because it's not 2-story. I can't let anybody come over for prayer meeting. I don't want to partner with that church over there because they are that. Use what you have. The Lord used those 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a multitude. You have more than 5 loaves at St. Andrew's. Other churches have more, but they keep looking to other resources. The resources that you have are right here. The miracle is right here, right now in Goshen, because of you, 100 and odd students from a school are being fed. Yes, why? Because you were willing to extend. Use what you have. Be very thankful. The Lord took it. And what did he do? He gave thanks. In everything, we must give thanks. Do not murmur or complain, because you don't know that greater is in the little. When you see little in God's eyes, it means greater. Little is much when God is in it. I don't know if you know that song. Little is much when God is in it. They were not in vain. But all it's saying, little is much when God is in it. Do not refuse the little. Act on it. Don't run people away. Those who are knocking on your door. Caribbean Workers Outreach Program may be knocking on your door. There are many other community organizations may be saying, but it is for you to discern, where do I go? Who am I going to help? If this church should be removed from this street, would people miss it? Would they care? Would it bother them? If it doesn't bother them, it would mean that all that we are doing here, we are doing it in vain. Would people miss St. Andrew's Presbyterian if it is totally being removed? The point is, I'm trying to say, with faith and thanksgiving, much is in it. With a mind of God and seeking what the Lord would do in struggling circumstances, difficult circumstances, you will grow. The more you push, the more you pray, you will be inspired. There have been many doubts, lacks. Those who've said, I can't go anymore. I am beyond my measure. St. Andrew's Women's Society or movement may be saying, tell the minister, we can't manage anymore. But all I would say, turn it over to Jesus. The boy gave his all to the Lord. Use your lack, or God will use your lack to see plenty. God will use your little to turn it over into more than enough. More than enough. God will use your nothing and make something out of it. Be inspired. When you're inspired, your mission becomes clearer and it becomes greater. May the Lord continue to strengthen you and energize you. For the mission is greater than you. But when you rest in the Lord and when you seek God, you become equal to the task because of the mind of Christ in you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.